Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of This Week in Quality. It's Friday, the 1st of May, 2026, and we welcome you, dear listener. For those of you joining live today, thank you for tuning in. And for those who are listening on the podcast, we welcome you as well. I'm here with Oleksandr Romanov. My name is Simon Tomes, community lead here at the Mottaverse. It's good to see people joining in the chat. So welcome to Emily, Judy, Gary, Sarah, Louise, Adam, Melissa, Pretty, a few more folks joining. Richard, wonderful to see you. And thanks for being part of. Oh, and Nadia as well. Happy Twic Day indeed to you too, Nadia Schultz. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, so Oleksandr, how you been? How's your week in quality been?
Hello, Simon. Hello, everybody who are listening right now or listening it as a recording. Yeah, my week was really, really relaxing because I have a vacation and a little bit of detox from all of the IT stuff, all of the work stuff. But I can't keep up without saying some words in This Week in Quality. So that's why I joined today and I hope to have a very nice and beautiful chat with all of you.
I love it, Oleksandr. I'm glad to hear you've been able to switch off from work and a bit of a detox. I like that term. I think it's important to take those breaks and kind of disconnect from the world of tech for a little bit and then come back. And, you know, thank you so much for being up for co-hosting today on perhaps the end of your week break. It's a nice one.
Yes. And what's happening this week in the Ministry of Testing?
Loads going on. Yeah, absolutely loads. I think if we were to look at the homepage, so ministryoftesting.com, for those who aren't familiar, there's all sorts going on, right? We've got people sharing their thoughts and ideas. We're talking about more. It's just nonstop. So it's kind of like, again, the challenge for folks in the community is to kind of stay on top of all that stuff. And, you know, it's okay if people don't stay on top of that. They can come back to this stuff later. And we were thinking this week, I've noticed a few things and I thought, oh, let's theme today's This Week in Quality. Let's think about the world of influencing and also, you know, how do we influence stakeholders that we work with? How do we influence without real authority? And there's a couple of things that, or a few things that have been bubbling up to bring us this point to talk about this today. One is there's a really good Into the Mottaverse podcast episode with Rosie Sherry and Suzanne Abdulrahman talking about influence. And Suzanne has also written a couple of lessons for the Software Quality Engineering Certificate around influence. So influencing stakeholders and influencing teams. There's good stuff around that I think we can touch on. Also, earlier this week, I attended the London chapter event. So yeah, a small group of us having some really good chats. And the topic of stakeholders came up, like, you know, how do you work with different stakeholders? How do you speak their language? How do you influence them? So that was kind of front and center in my mind. And also, funnily enough, this morning, as at the time of recording, I recorded a call for insights with Lauren Lassie. Lauren is a engineering manager that comes from a quality coaching background. We kind of touched on a little bit on influencing and how you can show up and influence people by showing up. So there's all these like themes coming through. So yes, so I think a good conversation about influencing, and I've got some questions that I prepared in advance that I will put out on the chat that I encourage people to respond to. And Oleksandr, we can invite people up onto the stage. They can share their thoughts on that question and we can see where the conversation goes. How does that sound?
It is sound beautiful. So we, if you have an answers or if you have examples of your influencing on developers, on any stakeholders that you work with, then please share it in the chat or join us in the on the stage and tell us the stories, because this is like the biggest advantage and the big thing of the This Week in Quality, that we are here to tell stories about quality. And influencing, I think it's one of the most interesting part of this software quality engineering certificate. I just recently graduated. I got this certificate, and the chapters about influencing were very, very fascinating for me, because it's one of the things that I never found in any other resources other than some quality leadership resources. But for a regular tester, it is also very important. So if you have any examples of the influencing or any thoughts on it, please share it in the chat, and let's start with the questions.
I love it. One question I would like to jump into, and I've spotted this in the chat from Emily O'Connor. Thank you, Emily, for asking this question. Emily asks, Simon, can you tell us more about how things make it to the MOT homepage? I know there was an article before about all the things you can get stars for. Love to see something similar. Oh, that's cool. So an adjacent part of that is there is a dedicated page called Community Stars. So ministryoftesting.com/community-stars. So that gives you an idea of all the ways people can earn a star. So hopefully that answers that question. But as far as getting on the homepage, that's really down to myself, Rosie, Deanna, and others in Team MOT spotting all the cool things that are happening in the community. We have a little button, and we press the button on the thing, and it brings it onto the homepage. So it's really about people showing up, sharing things. They could be writing an article. They could be creating a moment. They could create a collection. They can do all sorts of different things that you can find across the Motiverse. And we just press a little button, and it brings it onto the homepage. And our thinking, really, we have an idea where we try to update the homepage maybe 4 to 5 times a day. There's no like set time when we do that. It's just like we wait a little bit, and then we then feature something else that someone has done recently. And it's just a lovely way to showcase what folks are up to. You know, it is on the homepage. It does get a lot of traffic. So yeah, that's it, Emily. There's no like automation in that. It's just down to the team and pressing that feature button. So yeah, that's the way. I think the way to get yourself on the homepage is just continue to show up, and we want to amplify people. We want to reshare what they're up to and get as many people seeing those things as possible. I hope that helps, Emily. Let us know if you've got any more questions. Cool. So, Alexander, okay, let me grab the first question that I think would be an interesting one. Okay. And I think this is off the back of a quote from Suzanne on the recent Into the Motiverse episode. Suzanne says, influencing without real authority, that is my jam. And I was like, yes, that is a cool way of describing it. So the question is, what does influencing without authority actually look like in your day-to-day work? So there's a question for folks to reflect on. If you want to share in the chat your answers, please do. If you want to come up on stage, we very much welcome you to do so. And to do that, I'm going to add a link that you can then click to join the stage queue. And I'm going to add it now on the fly. Let's see if this works. Ah, the link must be a valid URL. That's brilliant. Live tested. It is a valid URL. What is not valid about that link? Well, a couple of spaces at the end of it. Let's see if that works. The link must be a valid URL. Ah, there you go, folks. That is very interesting. A link to Wistia's own app. Ah, there we go. So hopefully you can see a button. Judy, there should be a button that says join the stage queue. So folks, live testing, I'd left a couple of character spaces at the end of the URL and it went no. So it didn't decide to strip those spaces at the end of the URL. I had to manually remove them, and then it worked.
Well,
so there you go.
It is interesting if any AI system will detect it.
Ah, yes, yes. Would it consider it invalid? So we see an answer coming in from Richard Adams. So answering the question, what does influencing without authority actually look like? For me, it was varied. As a quality coach, that was everything for me, but now it is being present and raising my voice. Ah, okay. So the role of a quality coach was all about influence, but on a day-to-day basis, it's now about being present and raising my voice. Richard, I'd love it. Alexander and I would love to invite you up on stage to dig into that a little bit more if you are up for it, Richard, and if you're in a position to speak wherever you may be. We'd love to get you up on stage to do that. So please do try that join the stage button and see if that works to get you up on stage. Any other thoughts, folks? Please do share in the chat. So what does influencing without authority mean? What does it look like?
And while we are waiting for an answers in the chat, I would say that influencing without authority is what every tester encounters every day. Because we, like, if you want to not just report bugs, but do something more, then at some point of time, you will do influencing without authority. Because without influencing, you may not get your decisions implemented in the product and the quality improved.
Absolutely, Alexander, great reflection. Great reflection. And we've got more reflections coming in. This is brilliant. I'm loving it. So I guess, Alexander, I'll read out a few. And then if you want to read out a few as well.
Yes.
So Richard says he's eating his lunch. So sorry, he can't join us on stage. No worries, Richard. I hope you're enjoying a lovely lunch. I appreciate the multitasking. Good skills. So AD Stokes says asking questions and saying what if statements worked well for me to influence the team. Cheers, AD. Melissa Fisher says, show them by doing. Nice. Rosie Sherry adds, lead by example. And feel free, Alexander, to continue.
Yeah, so Nadia Schultz also shared that influencing without authority is about asking all the questions. And another question is, how can we understand that we asked all the questions? That's another very nice question. And Priti Gupta also answered that understanding the context of the discussion or a document and asking the question for better clarity and being in sync. Asking questions does make an impact on the people and shows active participation to make a difference. Very, very nice answer. So, and I think here is another key thing is that we need to get this influence. We need to practice it. That's the thing, because it is very nice to read about it, very nice to hear about someone practicing it, but another thing is practicing by your own.
Great advice. Yeah, great reflections on that as well. So we got to Priti. Gary shares, it's about understanding the people you need to influence and how they listen so you can influence them effectively. Nice. Adam Foy, lead by gluing. Oh, that's a new one I've heard. And I'm assuming that's a reference to the glue work that we do as quality professionals. So yeah, it'd be good to hear from Adam about that if he's up for joining up on stage. Matili Chanduri, finding opportunity and getting involved. Very nice. And Judy Mosley shares, it seems like if I try to influence as the end goal, the influence doesn't go in the direction I was hoping. Ah, okay. When I show up, share things, experiment, and just operate with a quality mindset, I influence in good ways I didn't see coming. Agenda-less influence. Ah, that's cool. That's really cool. I don't want to be invited to meetings, though. I asked to join. More like, can I sit here versus waiting to be asked? That's cool, Judy. That, I mean, what you shared there, Judy, is feels very much related to a conversation I had with Lauren Lassie earlier today, where it is, you know, show up. And just demonstrate and just be present and be, you know, here are the things that I'm doing, here's what I've learned. And then, you know, Lauren and I think yourself, Judy, are sort of highlighting that can like it just inspire people. It's like inspire people by doing the thing and people are like, oh, I get it now. Oh, I see what you mean. I understand what you're saying now. And okay, this seems cool. So people can work it out for themselves and not like be told to do something, essentially.
Yeah, and Ben just added that, can I sit here? Can be challenging remote, because you have to know to stock calendars. And he said that he done this. And yeah, that is what I also wanted to comment on, because in the remote setting, it is hard to find the meetings to join. But yeah, it can be a practice from the organization point of view. So just encourage people to join and to ask valuable questions and show how the quality can be.
Yeah, it came up earlier on this week at the London chapter event. We were talking about like the days of being in an office where you can naturally get a sense of things by walking around, or you can overhear conversations, you can get yourself involved. Whereas, you know, challenge of full remote is like, how do you hear those things, you know, other than reading stuff asynchronously on, you know, a chat and collaboration tool like Slack or Teams or whatever, those kind of spontaneous or serendipitous moments may not happen. So like the fact that we have to try and make them more intentional is very interesting from the days where we were all in an office. Alexander, I see that we have Melissa has joined us off stage. Let's get Melissa onto stage and off we go. Melissa, welcome. It's good to see you. How you been?
Yeah, hello, wonderful people. Yeah, it's a bank holiday here in the UK, so like really excited for that. Yeah, my week's been good. I'm a couple of weeks into a new assignment. And yeah, I'm just fighting a bit of imposter syndrome at the moment. So I'm fighting that big old dragon, but feeling much better.
We're here for you, Melissa. We are here for that imposter syndrome.
It comes and goes, doesn't it? Especially doing new things. But yeah, just having a good week, thanks.
Oh, I'm glad to hear. It's been a good week. And Melissa, yeah, please do jump in and share some thoughts on what we've spoken about and what's been shared in the chat so far.
Yeah, so I've had to influence this week. I've been doing some migration testing very recently, and they had this sort of Confluence page that I had to fill out for it. And one of the things they wanted to look at was performance. And they had start and end times, you know, columns to fill out. And in our particular team, we're not using any performance tools as such. So I've had to kind of subtly change the page a little bit and provide them evidence of, you know, the page responsiveness by looking at the network tab. So I had to kind of slowly do this and influence and change the way that we were recording the evidence. So that's where I thought, you know, show by doing sometimes and show them how it's done is a good way to influence and kind of teach them and educate them how to go about those things. So yeah, that was my personal example this week of trying to, you know, guide a team to be doing the right things.
Very, very nice example. And I think a lot of teams that I worked with, they are also thinking about feature quality, but they are like forgetting about performance. And your story that you described, Melissa, the wonderful thing is that in some cases, you don't need to invent some tools or add some tools. There are some tools in your browser or in a part of your tool set that you are using. So we need just to be aware of it. And that's also can be like a way how we can impact the team, just showing up the way how tools work.
Yeah, I think you're so right. And the browser tools are just so, so useful. If anyone wants to explore that, I mean, it's just such a good tool for looking for errors, looking a bit deeper, doing performance, looking at things like security, cookies, and all that good stuff. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Just sometimes the browser and what's in front of you and just observing what's going on can really, kind of help you.
I love that, Melissa. Thank you for sharing. And Melissa, you're running a workshop at Moticon this year, which is very exciting. That's the Build Your Own Quality Management System. And I kind of think like a QMS has influence over so much, right? If it's like, you know, like a set of policies or like processes or like who's responsible for what, if that could be part of a QMS, like that, that kind of sets the tone of like a QMS can be very influential. I wondered if you had some thoughts on that, maybe gives people a bit of a insight as to your, what your workshop might cover as well.
Oh yes, the workshop. I am so, so excited. I hope lots of you will be able to come, or maybe we can catch up separately. But yeah, QMS, for Judy that was asking, it's like a quality management system. So you're kind of thinking about, you know, all the good stuff we do about how you plan, how you control, and you continuously improve. And there's so many different things that you can do at each stage. So it's kind of taking a step back, looking at that big picture and thinking about sort of techniques, tools, systems that you can overall put in place that really levels up the quality, as it really is a system that flows like a river, and you have to make sure that's, you know, flowing well. And if there's not things that aren't flowing well, you can do something about it. So it's kind of looking at that quality management system and thinking, what could the barricades be? What is blocking? But it's really an idea for people to come and have a think about what their quality management system looks like and the ideas they can bring to the table. And a lot of it is about experimentation, trying something, failing at it, keep going, and then eventually you get success. So yeah, I do hope to see a few of you there. Really excited about the overall conference that's coming up. So it's just counting down the days now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, what is it, 1st of May, for those who are joining us live and listening back to this. So yeah, it's gonna come round. It's like, oh wow, it's 1st of October, oh my goodness. But we can't wait, Melissa. Like, we love the fact that you're running this workshop, and I know folks will get a lot from it. Just, yeah, well, your teaching style, your knowledge and experience, and just the content. Looking at the event page now, just what you're going to cover looks very, very cool indeed. So thank you for sharing a little bit more about that. Great. Well, Melissa, do stick around on stage. We really want you to continue with the conversation as it moves on. But I wanted to share, so from SQEC, so the Software Quality Engineering Certificate. So this is Module 7, Lesson 1 with Suzanne Abdulrahman. It's called Influencing Stakeholders in Quality Engineering. So whizzing down, because it's a big old lesson. She covers so much. It's one of my favorites. She shares the following, some helpful influencing principles. And a lot of this we have touched on already, but just Suzanne's take on it. Be clear about your message. Raise concerns as early as possible. Choose your format deliberately. Consider the setting. Ask questions that invite dialogue. And finally, offer options. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's a really good model for influencing stakeholders. So I thought I'd share that. So do, for folks who haven't become SQEC qualified, such as Alexander, who is now SQEC qualified, as he mentioned earlier. Well, hey, please do go check it out. It's, even that lesson in itself is so powerful. There's two lessons from Suzanne. I'm a big fan of those two. They are super valuable. So do go check that out. So should we, Alexander, I've got another question. Should we put that one out? What do you reckon?
Yes, go on.
Okay, let's have a look. This one. Oh, here we go. Yeah, let's bring this one in. Oh, there's two on there. Which one do I go with first? Yeah, let's go with this one. Okay, I'm going to put it in the chat for those following along live, and I'll read it out loud for those listening. Have you ever been right about a risk, but failed to get anyone to act on it? What did you learn? So have you ever been right about a risk, but failed to get anyone to act on it? What did you learn? Ben Doan immediately in the chat. Yes. Ben, we want to hear what happened. Please tell us. Join us on stage if you can. Oh, yes. We see Ben already. So, Ben, we will bring you on stage, but let's just maybe get a few answers coming in on the chat as well.
And Nadia Schultz just said that she's always right.
Brilliant. Oh, no worries, yeah. Nadia. Yeah. That's all good. That's all good. I love that.
That's good.
That's a great reply. That's reply of the day. Unless, I mean, we got another 30 minutes, but that's comment of the day. Oh, Richard, yeah. We're sorry to hear the trauma comes flooding back. Oh, hopefully your lunch is helping with that trauma right now. Okay, Ben, let's get you up on stage. We'd love to hear about your thoughts on this question.
Hello, this week in quality. What a great day it is to be alive in the Motiverse.
Heck yeah. Ben, yes. I hope you're well. If you want to jump on in, you're more than welcome to tell us about your week in quality before doing so. But we'd also love to hear about you being right about a risk but failed to get anyone to act on it. What did you learn?
Absolutely. So the learning is going to be the interesting bit, but bear with me. So the risk that I identified was, I'm going to try and simple it down so we're not here too long, but basically this feature stroke new product that we're trying to build has no market validation. The risk is it won't be useful for anyone. And it's, by the way, expensive and going to take a very long time. So it would have to be very popular if it's going to be worth it. I repeatedly had this argument to try and kill this project over a period of 6 to 9 months that it took us to implement it. And then by the time it went live, the thing we were integrating with, that customer left us. So it was only a few months of it not getting used before it was useless. And then the whole team basically got wound down. So I really didn't want to be right. I tried really, really hard to scream and shout. And the lesson I learned that I need to learn how to escalate my concerns when the people around me won't listen to me, and I need to learn to back up my concerns with better data. Yeah, there we go. So it wasn't a product. It was a product risk rather than like a software risk of, oh, this is a bug that I'm guessing. Yeah, there we go.
Good story. I think this is a clear example of what can happen when, I don't know who exactly, and we are not here to blame, but maybe it is an example of sunk cost fallacy, this kind of bias, when there were too much investments already in this feature, so it can be, so nobody can stop developing. And yeah, it was like a conscious or unconscious choice to not do anything on your suggestions, Ben, on the risk. But for testers, in my opinion, it can be really, really hard, annoying, and even very depressing to hear or to see that your suggestions are ignored like one time, another time, so a lot of times in a row. That can be really, really hard.
Yeah. Oh, Ben, go for it.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you're absolutely right with the sunk cost fallacy. You're also, there was another element, which was being very optimistic that effectively using the excuse to build this one feature and therefore have to build this whole piece of software to support that feature would then enable us to support a future use case. So it was very much forward thinking. Mm-hmm. The challenge was that it was relatively expensive to actually deliver. So if it had have only taken us, say, 3 or 4 weeks, then while it would have been, maybe not particularly cheap, it probably is a cost we could have eaten without really being too worried about it. But because it was also relatively expensive to build for all sorts of reasons, that's why it ended up being more of a risk and a bad hazard. Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Aidy. I told you, doesn't win hearts and minds. It can feel good, but at the same time, it doesn't feel good because I told you and you did nothing about it. That's exactly the problem, right? It's, on reflection, what I reflect on is I failed to be as influential as I needed to be. And there's a lot to learn from that, for sure. I definitely won't stay quiet again. I will be even louder next time if I see such a problem.
And I think that's a clear example on what kind of information you can get from this Quack certificate, because in this lesson, I think lesson 7, as far as I remember, you can find a lot of examples on how you can influence a lot of stakeholders and how you can even tailor your conversation to a particular type of stakeholder, because it's really, really important to do this. Because for us, the message may be very valid or maybe provide a lot of information about the risk, but for others, they may be not, because we have different contexts, different mindset, different information. That's why it is important to try to see the world from the like another eye or another point of view.
Totally. And I think what Melissa, you share, and it'd be great to get you to expand on this, what you share in the chat, people don't understand a risk until they experience it for themselves. Why good storytelling comes in to get them to experience, in brackets, understand.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I've had this so many times. I can't remember what the risk was, but I highlighted something, you know, a few weeks in advance. And then later on, the project manager said, oh, I kind of understand this now, like weeks later after I had raised it. So I think that happens quite a lot, that, you know, people are really busy within a team and you have to really kind of try and explain what the impact of that risk is. So I don't know, you could use various examples, metaphors, different ways of explaining something so that someone can understand, because people, you know, absorb information in different ways. So I think I've really learned as well to understand different characters, personalities, how they like to process information. Like, is that in a one-to-one setting? Is it writing? Something like that. So yeah, interesting. I don't know if anyone else has experienced that, where later on someone was like, oh, and oh, that is a problem. We need to do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, when we reflect on influencing and what that means for our roles, like the layers of complexity that it creates. And your reflections there, Melissa, are about like working out the medium and what will land, and Ben, you know, kind of saying I'll be louder next time, like continually banging the drum to make a point, the same point in perhaps different ways. That's all fascinating. I was just going to call out some folks in the chat. Ekwe Victor, thank you for joining us backstage. I will bring you up on stage in a moment. I just thought whilst we're on this particular topic, I'm going to just call out a little bit more some of the things that have been happening in the chat. So from Gary Hawks, so many times and too many risks. For me, I learned to try and influence people about the risks, explicitly saying, I see this as a risk and prepare for that risk being realized. Also being prepared to repeat myself to try and prevent the risk from being realized. I got it. Demi mentions, sometimes we just put different severities on risks. What seems important to me is minor to others. I've learned to accept those moments, no matter how annoying it is later, on having to fix the issue anyway. Oh yeah, I'm hearing you, Demi. I think we're all hearing you on that one. And Nai, thank you for sharing, Nai. Apologies if I mispronounced your name there. 100%, you need to know your audience, know what's important to them, and know what business language you need to talk in and raise risk so the storytelling is relatable to them. Brilliant, brilliant point. And as AD shares, we can learn and do differently going forward. Does work well instead of I told you so. And he continues, we tailored the same presentation 4 times depending on the business area. So everyone said yes to what we knew, what the right thing, effort and prep paid off. Oh, it's Nicola Furness. Brilliant. It's good to hear from you, Nicola. I should have scrolled down further and saw that it was you, Nicola, but we're glad you're here as you were walking the dog. Brilliant. Great. Well, I was going to share another question, but Ibekwe, let's bring you up on stage. We would love to hear from you. So please jump on in. Ibekwe, how has your week in quality been?
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, I'm Victor Uro from Nigeria. And my question is not that difficult. I'm a junior QA engineer, and I think this is the best place to be because I just started in QA. So I was just asking to know how I could get myself out there and get a better outreach because I'm basically just working on projects all the time. So I'm posting on LinkedIn too. So I just want to know how, you know, I could make myself more valuable to people and they could see that I'm actually trying to get my feet out there. Because it's quite saturated. When I check the QA industry for junior QA engineers out there. So I'm just trying. I don't want to get tired on the way. I just want to keep going. So I need some tips, some advice from QA engineers like you guys that have been in the field for a long time so I could know what to do and, you know, keep my heads up and keep trying my best. Yes. Thank you.
Well, first up, Ibekwe, you're here, right? And that is what matters. And I'm so glad you've introduced yourself on a This Week in Quality episode. So thank you so much for doing that. Showing up is what matters. And the fact that you are showing up and you've just expressed, you know, your goals, your ambitions, that your openness to learn, to kind of discover information from fellow professionals and kind of, you know, it's a two-way learning experience for those who are new to the industry. For those who have been around in the industry for a while can learn plenty from folks who are new. So yeah, welcome to the Motiverse. Welcome to the community. And yeah, thank you for being part of it. There's lots of places to start, and certainly joining something like This Week in Quality is a good place for that. But we can, you know, definitely showing up and sharing your experiences, exploring the Ministry of Testing website is a good place to do something. Getting yourself a professional membership as well unlocks all sorts of great learning material as well. So yeah, welcome. That's all I can say. I've got so much more to say on this and I'm conscious I just don't want to talk at you for the next 15 minutes. But anyone else up on stage, if you want to share some thoughts with Ibekwe, please go for it now.
Hello, I just want to say hello, welcome to the community. You have arrived.
Thank you.
And I'd love to know, Ibekwe, a little bit more. If you don't mind sharing, where in the world are you? And the only reason I say that is the different markets for the different roles that are available and the different ways you can get involved are so varied around the globe. So if someone who is closer to you might have more detail they could share.
Okay, currently I'm in Nigeria, I'm in Africa. So yes, currently.
That's very cool. I'm confident we do have other folks from Nigeria in the Ministry of Testing community. I do not have a by geography map in my head, but a invitation for anyone out there who is in that area to reach out and see what advice you might have. And if you can welcome and suggest any local communities. Simon, do we have a MOT Nigerian chapter yet?
Off the top of my head, no, but let's have a little look. We have released a new country filter on the chapters page, actually. That went out earlier this week. So folks can filter the chapter page by either global, the stuff that is fully global, like the This Week in Quality chapter, which I encourage people to join. We've got the AI chapter, engineering management chapter. And what else do we have on the global chapter? Oh, Software Testing Live, of course, Ben. It's part of the global chapter, so across the world. Let's just do a country search for Nigeria. We have got MOT Lagos. Of course we have. So let me share that as a link. I think at the moment we don't have any folks running that one. Oh, and as AD shares in the chat, shows Lagos. Thank you. So yeah, an opportunity to kind of find out or consider kind of starting that one up again. So I think it's happened in the past. But yeah, I think, you know, there's good stuff in person, plenty of stuff online as well to get involved with. The fact that you're here today in Bitquiet is wonderful. Melissa or Alexander, any thoughts to share?
I can share one thing is, or a few things, but very quickly. The first is, yes, as Simon Ben just mentioned, you need to a little bit distinguish between the demands from your local market and demands from the overall market in like worldwide. The information that you can get on Ministry of Testing can be applicable anywhere, so it's universal. But maybe in your particular location, there is a demand for web testers or for API testers or for mobile testers. So maybe you need to take a look at that, these particular areas. But general advice from myself is you need to start from learning how to learn and how to connect different things together. It will help you with learning anything, any kind of testing, any kind of programming, anything in technology. So yeah, that's advice from me.
Yeah, my advice would be that there's so much diversity in Ministry of Testing, how people think about testing, and I'd really encourage, you know, connecting with so many different people in the Motorverse and kind of learning their thoughts, their experience. And that really kind of helps you grow and get better as a quality engineer, tester, however you define yourself. And what's really good, yeah, there's so much stuff within the Motorverse, there's so much stuff online, also lots of remote opportunities as well. So I think it's just really, you know, being curious, experimenting, and just really growing. And finding also what's your interest within testing, because it's so broad and so diverse. And I really encourage like anyone to follow their interests and passions. But yeah, welcome to this community. Really great to have you here.
Thank you very much, Melissa. I appreciate it.
That's brilliant. Oh, this is very exciting. I love it when we have folks join the community and they're up for saying hi on stage at This Week in Quality. So thanks so much. Yeah, do get stuck in. What I will do, I'll try and find, because, actually as a panelist, you might be able to share your link now to your profile so folks can follow you and connect with you. But let me just do that to save you having to look all that stuff up. I'm going to share your profile on the chat for those who are following along live. So yeah, they can connect with you on the Motorverse, your Motorverse profile page, and also connect on LinkedIn. But yeah, the more you kind of show up and the more things you do at Bitquiet, and to anyone else who's new to the community, stuff will start appearing on your profile page. So you can earn community stars, which is a proxy for showing that you're showing up and that you're learning. And then for example, when this episode goes live as a podcast, it will appear as a contribution. So you've contributed to the Motorverse, you've expanded the Motorverse, and it will appear on your profile page. So the more things you do, you could just get involved in all sorts of different things. It starts building up your profile, and building up your profile is a great way to demonstrate to a potential hiring manager that you're active in the community, that you're learning, you're playing back some of the learning with the community. So yeah, I think it would definitely help to get yourself a professional membership as well. So something to consider. We do have a scholarship fund available for folks who are currently not in work at the moment as well. So that's one to have a think about. And that goes for all of our listeners today.
Thank you very much.
Great. Okay, folks, I think we got time just to sneak in one more question around influencing. So let's put that one out there. I think this question is a fun question. Let's see what happens. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes left before we wrap things up today. The question is this: what's the hardest stakeholder group for you to influence, and what makes them difficult? What's the hardest stakeholder group for you to influence, and what makes them difficult? And I'm going to give you some framing Judy, my kids, and that's your train drivers. Brilliant. In the context of tech, you could have, and this comes from Suzanne's lesson, she defines a stakeholder group. So you could have product leaders, so people like product managers, product owners, development, dev leaders, dev managers, tech leads, engineering managers, principal engineers, DevOps managers, business and executive leaders, and developers, so software engineers, devs, programmers, coders, etc. Oh, Nadja, my apologies. Our users are train drivers. Okay, I get you now. I understand. My apologies for misunderstanding. So we have Louise jumping in. Louise Woodhams, good to hear from you, Louise. People who don't understand why testing is a thing. Oh, yes. So I do recommend Louise has a wonderful call for insights where she touches on that about people not understanding testing and how we can need to continue to advocate for what it is that we do. So do go check out Louise's profile where you can find the call for insights with her. Alexander, raising the hardest stakeholders to influence our AI agents. Nice. I thought we'd go one episode without the AI word, but we didn't quite make it. That's funny. And Pretty shares people who goes for low code, no code model and no more QA model. Yes. Yes. Nee, aka Nicola Furness, people who don't want to relinquish control and see you as a threat. That's why the way you talk to people matters. I got it. And Adam Foy shares leadership budgets, melting emoji face. Yeah, I'm hearing you, Adam. Any thoughts, Alexander, Melissa, or Ben, up on stage about the hardest stakeholder group for us to influence?
Yeah, I have one thing, which is, I actually think AI agents are the easiest to influence as long as you're allowed to contribute to agents.md. I'm just throwing it out there. They don't always listen, but no stakeholders listen. So the fact that they've got a higher chance of listening actually than most of my human stakeholders. Yeah, no, I'm going to throw a controversial one out there. The hardest stakeholder to influence is yourself, and actually remembering to do things for yourself because they're useful for you, and remembering, and that your opinion counts, and remembering to, yeah, work ideas out before I throw them out to other people. So I actually find that I'm one of my most challenging stakeholders.
Yeah, that's great, Ben. Alexander, please jump on in.
Yes, I just want to add that, yeah, first of all, the hardest stakeholder is that don't understand what quality is. That's like a general stakeholder. It can be a developer, it can be manager, it can be CTO, CEO, any kind of person. So generally, it's the person that you haven't yet talked about quality with. So just talk with people about quality and show and tell the examples.
Yeah, and I think Judy Mosley, thanks for sharing more in the chat, Judy. Couldn't resist, of course. And Judy adds, I think the hardest ones are the ones that choose not to see value of quality, as you're touching on there, Alexander. They could be on any team. What makes them difficult is that you cannot persuade what they aren't interested in. Sometimes it takes the absence of quality to see the value of quality. Yeah, love it. Really good point. Melissa, any thoughts on this one?
Probably sometimes delivery managers that focus a lot on, well, it could be anyone in a role that's focusing on speed and getting things out quickly. And I think, as you touched on, Simon, it's like they don't quite want to listen to it. They've got their objective. They need to get something out. And it can be really hard sometimes to influence why it's not really slowing down, but just doing things in the right way, you know, to deliver something that's great for a customer. So, yeah, that's what I find sometimes difficult, and others sometimes not, because they do see the value in what we bring if you tell the right story sometimes. But, yeah, it can be a hit and miss.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ebikwe, I'd love to get your thoughts on this particular topic. What have you reflected on so far when it comes to kind of this episode so far and you know, that opportunity that we have as quality professionals to influence different types of roles within an engineering team? Do you have any thoughts or reflections? And it's absolutely no worries at all if you don't. I know I'm putting you a bit on the spot here, but I was just curious in your position right now, what your take is. Oh, no worries there. It looks like a Ebikwe might. Oh, there you go. Go for it. Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I was trying to get the speaker on. So, what I feel like should be my take on quality. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. The audio dropped out a little bit. I can hear you now if you can hear us. Yes, we can hear you. Okay.
For me personally, started out, I think it's best to understand where you can put yourself in use and what you like doing the most. Me personally, I like when I see things about AI, database, and performance. I love that a lot. So whenever I'm trying to put myself out there, I usually like go through research.
Ebikwe, if you can hear us, apologies if I'm speaking over you. Your audio is
part of engineering where quality can be put. Is it okay now?
Unfortunately, the audio, and apologies for speaking over you if I was earlier, the audio is popping in and out. It looks like your connection might be dropping. So feel free, if you get the chance, to share in the chat some of your reflections, just because the audio isn't quite working so well, at least from where I'm sitting. But we're really grateful that you're sharing your thoughts already. And, you know, perhaps you could share that on LinkedIn as well and in other places as well on the Motiverse. But yeah, okay. Feel free to share some thoughts in the chat.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, folks. Well, it looks like we're coming to the stage where we're coming to the end. Alexander, before I wrap things up, or we wrap things up, any final thoughts on this particular topic?
Yes, of course. So just do not afraid to try to influence. Do not afraid to talk to different stakeholders about quality. And just if you didn't yet certify it in Squack, just to get certified.
Wonderful. Okay, folks, well, we're going to wrap up for today. But just to remind you that, you know, we're building things differently at the Motiverse. We are an independent, member-supported community helping quality thrive everywhere. So if you head over to ministryoftesting.com/membership and sign up for a professional membership today, the Motiverse is your career companion and has everything you need to grow a quality career in tech and beyond. You come from the knowledge and you can stay for so much more. It's been great hosting this on with you, Alexander. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone who has joined us up on stage and for those folks who are joining live in the chat, and to you, the listener, wherever you may be, whatever time this is that you are listening. We're very grateful that you show up. Please do head over to the fairly new This Week in Quality chapter page. So view ministryoftesting.com/chapters. Find the This Week in Quality chapter page. You can join that for free. We send out notifications there. We bring together all of the podcast episodes on that page. Plus, you can go there to find out when the next ones are happening. If somebody posts a moment or creates a moment and they tag it with this chapter, it also appears on that page as well. So it brings together all the things that are happening in This Week in Quality on one page. So do go check it out. Okay, folks, we're going to sign off now. Please do enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you in the Motiverse soon. Bye for now.